Prayer. May He give us eyes with which to see Him. Good morning. Glad to be with you today. Glad to be able to preach today. I was not called for jury duty all week. I waited. Every day I checked, and they didn't want me. So I worked on my sermon instead, so I'm ready to go today. When our God speaks, His word is powerful. Think back to Genesis chapter 1, the story of the creation. You remember what God does in that story? He doesn't do anything. The only thing He does is talk. God speaks and light appears. God speaks and the sky appears. God speaks and dry land appears and plants start to grow on the land. God speaks and the lights in the sky appear, the sun, the moon, the stars. God speaks and fish are created. God speaks and land animals are created. God speaks again and the first human beings come to life. When our God speaks, His words are powerful. In Exodus chapter 20, when God spoke the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel, they heard His voice. And do you remember what they told Moses? His voice was so powerful that they told Moses, "Speak to us yourself, or we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die." Psalm 29 says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic." And then it says, "The Lord's voice thunders over the mighty waters and breaks the cedars of Lebanon and shakes the desert." In John 12, Jesus is in Jerusalem and he, as he's teaching, he stops and he calls out, "Father, glorify your name." And God answers from heaven and he says, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." And some of the people who are there in the crowd hear God's voice and think it was thunder. And other people, maybe they caught the words and they think an angel had spoken to Jesus. When God speaks, His word is powerful. When Jesus speaks, His word is powerful. Luke 4, verses 35 and 36, Jesus encounters a man possessed by a demon and He commands the demon, "Be quiet, come out of him." And the demon comes out. And the people there to see this are amazed and they say, "What words these are." With authority and power, He gives orders to impure spirits and they come out. By the power of His word, Jesus could drive out a demon. He could heal a disease. By His word, He could call the dead back to life. By His word, He could calm a storm. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, "Jesus sustains all things by His powerful word." By His word, the universe keeps working. Existence still exists. When Jesus speaks, His word is powerful. When God's people speak, our words are also endowed with divine power because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. And just as the words of God the Father are powerful and the words of Jesus His Son are powerful, so our words, when guided by His Spirit, are powerful. So this morning, I'd like us to look again at the text that we've been working through these past 2 weeks in Ephesians chapters 4 and 5, latter part of chapter 4 and the first half or so of chapter 5. Only today, we'll move a little further into chapter 5 and look at some verses we haven't looked at yet. And we'll focus specifically on what the Apostle Paul teaches in this section on the topic of how we speak to one another. So notice, first of all, the power of our words. As spoken by people who are children of God, who are learning to put on the new self that is to be created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. So chapter 4, verse 25. Paul says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. As people who are being made new to be like God in our character, we have power to impact the life of God's church, the body. And we can do this simply by speaking truthfully. By speaking the truth, we strengthen the body. Trust grows, and we become a healthy community of people who are able to have confidence in one another if we speak the truth to each other. We have the power, by speaking the truth, to help make the community of God's people healthy and strong, which then enables the church to do all the work that God has called us to do. We have power through our words to propel the work of God forward in and through His church, simply by speaking truthfully to one another, growing a spirit of mutual trust and confidence, which then makes it easier for us to work together in the Lord. Again, verse 29, chapter 4. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We have been given spiritual power from God to build others up, to speak words that benefit those who listen. Whether it's through preaching the gospel, or through encouraging someone who is growing in the Lord, or through speaking a word of compassion to someone who is hurting. So Paul's command here teaches us to intentionally speak that which promotes the work of God in our lives and in the lives of others. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, because that would thwart God's work at that moment. God's work is to bring life to the people He created, to bring redemption, to bring healing, to bring hope, even to people who today walk in darkness. So let come out of your mouth only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit them. Let come out of your mouth only what joins in the work of God as He is doing that work in the lives of the people around you. With our words, we can tear down and we can build up. We can curse or we can bless. What is our goal when we open our mouths to speak? It's very clear in Scripture that the words that come out of our mouths are of vital concern to God. There are teachings about what we say strewn throughout the Bible. One of the most important is James chapter 3. In one place, James says, chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." This is the hardest part to control, he says. The tongue, what we say, is the hardest thing to control. Again, chapter 3, verses 6 to 8 in James, "The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." The tongue, according to James, is powerful. If you're deaf and you talk with your hands are powerful. You can, by your words, set the whole course of your life on fire. How many people do you know who, if they would just keep their mouths closed, would have much better lives? Amen. The tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. It is so dangerous. And yet, strangely, God does not call us to take this extraordinarily dangerous part of the body and cut it off and throw it away. But rather, He wants it to be transformed in how we use it. Take off the old self, put on the new self, and do this with what you say, as much as with any other part of your life. And so if you used to be a person whose words were unwholesome, you know, maybe insulting or foolish, maybe slanderous, you were always saying something bad about someone, or always causing trouble. If you were the kind of person whose speech was like what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 6:11, where he says, the more the words, the less the meaning, and how does that profit anyone? You know, if your words were like that, then work with God to let your words be transformed so that you aim for the goal of letting only those words escape your mouth that are helpful for building others up according to their needs for their benefit. Pardon the pun, but that's easier said than done. That is no easy task. To so guard what you say that nothing comes out that is not helpful for building up someone else according to their needs. It takes practice. And it takes spiritual training. And that's why I think James said that anyone who can do this, who is never at fault in what they say, is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. It may even seem impossible. How am I ever going to get to where everything I say pleases God, is holy, is pure, builds up someone else? How could I ever get there? It may seem impossible, but our God does impossible things all the time. Jesus said once, what is impossible for man is possible for God. So for Christians, this is normal. We learn over time, if we're faithful to God, to speak what is good for building others up. Our words have power to harm people, or by God's power at work in us, they have power to do good. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Our words are like a sharp blade in the hands of an enemy, or even a friend who just swings wildly, that blade is a deadly weapon. But in the hands of a well-trained surgeon, a sharp blade is an instrument of healing. So use your words to heal, not to destroy. After encouraging us to let come out of our mouths only that which builds others up, Paul continues, verse 30, Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The Holy Spirit who lives in you is vitally concerned that your words do good, like a surgeon's scalpel, and not harm, like a crazy man with a sword. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And in this context, that at least means making sure you speak nothing unwholesome, and that your words are not tainted with bitterness, or rage, or anger, or malice, or brawling, which, as I mentioned last week, can also be translated as clamor or yelling. And do not slander. Be careful that what you say does not go out from your mouth like a deadly sword that would do harm to any other person or do harm to your relationships with any other person. Instead, as Paul says, be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. In your attitude toward the other person and in your words, you have power from God to communicate God's goodness that He has shown to you to the next person. By the way you relate to them, by the way you speak to that person, you have power to speak words of kindness, words of compassion, words of forgiveness, that reflect how God was kind and compassionate and forgiving toward you. This is part of how we put off our old self with all of its rage and bitterness and slander and put on the new self that is created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. We do this by reflecting God's goodness to us in the way we speak to each other. As God has been kind to us, he transforms us so that in turn we can be kind to one another. Jump ahead a couple of verses to chapter 5, verse 3. Paul continues, and he quickly returns to the topic of our speech. So 5:3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, false talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. There is no place for immorality, impurity, or greed in the life of a person who follows Jesus, according to the Apostle Paul. And one form of impurity that he draws out here and warns us about is impure speech. For example, he mentions obscene language, which is offensive, intentionally offensive language, or disgusting language, or sexually explicit language sometimes. He mentions foolish talk, which could be anything unproductive or boastful or simply unwise. And he mentions coarse joking, like demeaning jokes about the other sex, demeaning jokes about some ethnic group or nationality or the other political party or anyone you don't like, or about immorality, jokes about immorality and sin, as if there were anything funny about mocking another human being just because you don't like them, or making light of someone's sin. These things are not funny to God. And so such speech is inappropriate for God's holy people. And in fact, Paul states quite bluntly that anyone who talks like this, being impure, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And actually, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient precisely because of such things as impure speech. And Paul's not making this up out of his own head. He's getting this teaching directly from the word of Jesus himself. Because Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 33, make a tree good, and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So what Paul warns us about here in Ephesians 5 grows right out of Jesus' teaching here in Matthew 12. You can tell what a person's heart is like by what comes out of their mouths. Their words are fruit that reveals whether their tree is good or bad. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so Jesus warns us that one criterion that will determine how we fare on the day of judgment will be our words. They will condemn us, or they will acquit us. Our words are vitally important to God, who gave his Son to die for us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be transformed in him from darkness to light and receive an inheritance of eternal life with our God. Our words need to speed and not hinder his work toward our salvation. And so Paul goes on to encourage us to be transformed from darkness to light and to reflect that transformation by what we say. Listen to his instructions here, especially when we get to verse 15 down through verse 20. Picking up in verse 8, chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live. We're into verse 15 now. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. That's sort of been our theme for the last 2 weeks, now 3 weeks. And find out what pleases the Lord. And let this transformation bring light into how you live and even into how you speak. And so in verse 15, Paul says, be careful that you live not as unwise, but as wise. So think about how you're living and how you conduct yourself. Make the most of every opportunity, he says, because we live in evil days, and yet God has given us the power to do good in this world. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't be foolish, he says, but understand what the Lord's will is. That's a lot like verse 10. Find out what pleases the Lord. Learn God's will. Dig into it. Get to know it and grow in it. Do what pleases God. In verse 18, he says, don't get drunk on wine. And what do you think Paul would say about other alcoholic beverages? Or about marijuana? Or about other drugs that affect your thinking? Don't indulge in anything that skews your thinking so that your ability to follow the leading of God's Spirit is diminished. But instead, the very next thing Paul says is, be filled with the Spirit. How do you do that? We'll probably talk about that some in our next sermon series on the Holy Spirit that we'll get started with in a few weeks. How do you fill up with the Spirit? Well, I think you do it by walking with God, by opening yourself to his influence in your life, by learning and growing in him, by praying for the Holy Spirit to lead you, and by letting God know that you're open to that. Right? Being filled with the Spirit is not something we do as if we grab the Spirit and put him inside of us. It's something God does because the Holy Spirit is God. It's something God does, but we open ourselves to it. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. So think about what goes in and what comes out. Don't put much wine in or any other intoxicant. Such things just lead to sinful behavior. But put God's Spirit in. Be filled with the Spirit, because what comes out from you comes from what you put in you. And if you're filled with the Spirit of God, then what comes out of your mouth will be, according to verse 19, songs. All sorts of spiritually oriented songs, psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, or the Greek phrase there might just mean spiritual songs. Be filled with the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, Paul says. Praise God and worship him. Speak to one another in song, he says. A similar teaching in Colossians 3 says, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Teach each other in song. And verse 20 says, always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak words of gratitude. Just as Paul wrote earlier that our mouths should produce no obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, but rather thanksgiving. Put off that old mindset of impurity and foolishness. Put on the new mindset of gratitude and thanksgiving. And what makes this transformation from our old ways of speaking to our new ways of speaking possible is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Be filled with the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God brings us words to share that are wholesome and good. The Word of God the Father is powerful. The Word of Jesus his Son is powerful. And the Word of the person in whom the Holy Spirit lives is powerful. He gives us words with which to build others up. He gives us words of gratitude with which we praise our God. He gives us songs of instruction and joy to share together as we worship our God. Whether that's here when we're all together on Sunday mornings, or when we're alone in our homes, or when you're driving to work and nobody but God can hear you sing. If the Word of God, the Father, is powerful, and if the words of Jesus are powerful, then surely words spoken by the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us are also powerful. So put that power from God to work in what you say and in how you speak to one another. Let everything you say be guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit whom God has given to us. I'd like us to close now by putting some of this teaching into practice with two songs. Just as Paul has just said, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Let's do that for a minute. First, a song of instruction reminding us to guard what we say. Let's go ahead and put it up on the screen. Love one another. Just notice the power of God that's at work in what we say in these songs. Love one another. Sing this with me if you know it. Angry words, oh, let them never from my tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command. Let our words be sweetly spoken. Let kind thoughts be greatly stirred. Show our love to one another with abundance of kind words. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command. And then let's sing one more. A song of worship to God, making music from our hearts to the Lord. Because sometimes even the words that we sing aren't enough to express to God how we feel. And so sometimes we need God to listen to our hearts as well as to the words that we sing and say. We haven't sung this one for a while, but sing it with me if you know it. How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears, and words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing.
a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had 1,000 years, Lord, I would still run out of time. If you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our hearts. But words are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our hearts.
You know how we're going to use our lips in eternal life? We're going to use our lips, our mouths, to worship our God century after century and millennium after millennium, and to declare our love for Him and to express our love for one another. And so when we use our mouths or our hands to sing to God and to encourage one another and to build each other up, we are training in this life, getting ourselves ready for how we will speak and sing when we get there in that life that is to come. May God bless you. Let's pray. Father, help us to say and to sing what is good in your sight. Help us to speak what is useful for building others up. Lord, sometimes we have problems guarding what we say. Bad language, cruel language, demeaning language, just unwise, foolish talk sometimes. Help us with this, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit that what comes out of us may be good and may come from you, our God. We thank you for hearing our prayer and for blessing us in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jim's going to come and lead us in song. Would you stand? Let's sing together.